This is Haystack Health Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Health Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Health Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Protect Your Legacy. Again, my name is Scott Whatley, and we thank you for being with us. Our show is brought to you by Blake Harris Law. Please check out that website, BlakeHarrisLaw.com, and the number 833-ASK-BLAKE. And with that, we will welcome estate planning attorney Blake Harris. Blake, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Scott. Great to be back on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. It is great to have you back on. And I tell you, Blake, you know, time passes so quick. We look at now, we're already into summer from the first of the year, and kind of brings me to my point today a little bit of just, then we're going to get into our topic kind of about common questions about estate planning, but just going through what I went through over the last few months with my father and then talking to more people now about loved ones passing and the untimely deaths and young people passing away. I tell you, it's easy to say you never know, but man, when you never know and you've got no plan whatsoever, boy, it just throws undue turmoil on the whole family, doesn't it?
Yes, it can be a very eye-opening event for everyone. I mean, for one, certainly grieving the loss of a loved one is certainly a very difficult process, but also add to that, not having a clear place and plan can make a difficult time even more difficult. So let's talk about how to avoid
absolutely
part of that situation.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So an ounce prevention is certainly an ounce prevention is worth a pound of the cure. And this is certainly true when it comes to estate planning. What is estate planning, you may ask? Estate planning is a process of arranging your financial affairs so that in the event that you become incapacitated or pass away, the individual or individuals that you have selected receive their inheritance at the time and in the manner that you want them to receive their inheritance.
Okay. Now, when people first talk about, you know, an estate plan, let's kind of break it down to, I mean, what all that includes. I think people understand if they've got property and some money in the bank, but what are some other things that might be included that would make up that estate plan?
Sure. So at the heart of every estate plan or most estate plans is a trust. A trust allows you to do several different things. Number one, a trust allows you to select who receives your property when you pass away, and a trust also allows you to decide who's going to be the guardian for any minor children or disabled children. Now, everything I just mentioned about a trust can also be accomplished with a will, a last will and testament. However, a last will and testament is a ticket to the probate court. Probate is the court process for distributing your estate after you pass away. Probate can be a very expensive process, and it can be a very time-consuming process. By law, probate has to last a minimum of 6 months in Colorado, and in many cases, it lasts a year or more.
Wow.
By creating a revocable living trust, we can completely avoid the need to go through the probate process, and we can make sure that any inheritance that your beneficiaries receive after you pass away is protected. And what I mean by protected, number one, we want to protect the beneficiaries from spending through the money too quickly. If we have any minor beneficiaries or even beneficiaries under the age of 25 or 30, we should consider appointing an independent trustee to manage funds on behalf of that beneficiary until the child is old enough to manage their own financial affairs.
Mm-hmm.
The next protection that you would give our children is protection, or beneficiaries, is protection from outside parties so that they don't ever lose their inheritance due to a lawsuit, a medical illness, having too much student or credit card debt, or due to a divorce. And with a trust, we can keep all of their inheritance protected from all those potential issues themselves or an outside party.
Okay.
The third part of an estate plan is incapacity planning. And there's a few different documents that everyone should have in place to plan for their incapacity. The first one is a financial power of attorney. A financial power of attorney allows the individual you have selected to make a financial decision in the event that you become incapacitated and can no longer manage your own financial affairs. If you do not have a financial power of attorney in place, then in the event that you become incapacitated, your family is going to have to go through a conservatorship proceeding. This is a very expensive and time-consuming process, which can take months and cost thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. All of this headache can easily be avoided by signing a financial power of attorney. In addition to a financial power of attorney, there are three medical documents which should be created to plan for your potential incapacity. A medical power of attorney to allow someone to make medical decisions on your behalf. A HIPAA authorization. Mm-hmm. HIPAA is a document that gives your agent the ability to access your protected healthcare records in the event that you become incapacitated. You want your family member or your selected agent to be able to access those protected healthcare information and use that to make informed medical decisions. And then the final document is a living will or an advanced healthcare directive, or as it's technically called in Colorado, a declaration as to medical or surgical treatment. This document tells your agent and doctors how you want to be cared for in the event that you're incapacitated, such as if you are permanently incapacitated and you're in a permanent vegetative state, you can inform that you do not want to be kept on life support indefinitely and that you do want to be able to be taken off life support.
Right. And I tell you, Blake, so much to think about here, but when you've got it all spelled out and planned out like this, I was talking with some folks the other day just about kids. Of course, kids just graduated, now 18, and, you know, making their plans for life. And I was talking to some of the parents. I go, man, do you realize something happens to them after this now? And there's an issue at a hospital, and they call. As a parent, even though you're the parent, that HIPAA thing comes into play there, doesn't it? So the parent may think they can do all this, give all this information and make all these decisions, but they really can after that point, right?
Yes, you are absolutely correct. A power of attorney is certainly important for us and our aging parents, but also a power of attorney is very important in the event that you have children that are now 18 years of age or older. You want to make sure that they have their documents in place so that they end up hospitalized while they're away at college or away for any reason, that you can still speak with medical professionals on their behalf. You don't want to have to go through a time-consuming, expensive conservatorship proceeding in the event that your child ends up hospitalized as well. So when should you start estate planning? I mean, as soon as you're 18, at least get a power of attorney in place. And then as your assets continue to grow from there, perhaps you have a child or you purchase a home, then that's the time I recommend also putting a trust in place to plan for your long-term well-being.
Right. Once again, you're listening to Protect Your Legacy, attorney Blake Harris. His number, 833-ASK-BLAKE, and Blake has been kind enough to give our listeners free initial consultation. So all you have to do is make the call, 833-ASK-BLAKE, and you can check out the website, blakeharrislaw.com, and I highly recommend you do that. A great website. You can read a lot of the reviews that are on there. And Blake, let me just interrupt us for a moment to talk about your reviews. I tell you, people are very, very, very happy with your services. And from the beginning, since we've been doing this show together, they just continue to grow with these 5-star reviews.
Yes, yes. I mean, people ask, why should they work with my firm? And I say, you're going to have a great experience. But I also say, don't just take my word for it. Google Blake Harris Law and read some of the countless number of glowing reviews from current and former clients. We take every client in, and we start the process with a free initial consultation. During that consultation, we're going to learn about your family, how many children you have, are there children from a prior relationship, do we need to plan for any stepchildren as well, or plan around any children. Next, we are going to get a good understanding of your assets. Do you own a home? What liquid investments do you have? Mm-hmm. What do you do for work? And then next, we're going to get a good understanding of our client's goals, understanding who they want to receive the property, when they want that person to receive the property, and the manner in which they want that person to receive the property. Do they want their beneficiaries to receive an inheritance outright, or they prefer their children receive an inheritance in a protected trust so that the children don't spend through the money too quickly?
Right. We did get go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and then after at the end of that initial consultation, once you get a good understanding of our client's goals, assets, and family, then we will be able to give our recommendation for how the plan should be designed. And then we will be able to give a flat fee quote for the creation of the estate plan. We offer very competitive pricing. We're not the cheapest ones in town. We don't want to be the cheap attorneys, but we do offer very competitive pricing. We give our clients a very good value when they work with us. About 3 weeks after the consultation, we will have the documents ready for our clients to review and sign. Once the clients let us know that they are 100% satisfied with their documents, we will then schedule a signing meeting. We can either mail you the documents, and you can meet with a notary on your own, hire a notary to come to your home to help you execute the documents, or you're welcome to come into our office. We have beautiful office space in downtown Denver next to Union Station with free parking next door. And then once the documents have all been signed off, we give our clients pre-lifetime reviews. So at any point after you've created an estate plan with our firm, if you have additional questions about your estate plan, whether it's 6 months down the road or 10 months down the road, you can contact our office, and we'd be happy to discuss your estate plan at no additional charge.
Okay, great. And once again, that number is 833-ASK-BLAKE. We did get a text question in the next time that you were on, and so I wanted to save it and ask you. And it says, upon death, how are banks notified that someone passed away normally? And this person said that they had a loved one pass away over a weekend, and like by the very first of the week, they went by the bank, and the bank already knew that the person had passed away. So I'm like, I don't really know either, so I'll ask Blake.
So I'm not sure what happened in that situation.
Okay.
Generally, banks are not automatically informed. Banks are not out there searching death certificate records to find out whether or not somebody passed away. So generally, banks are informed because another family member will report that somebody has passed away.
I got you. And that could have been the case, and they didn't know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that might have been the exact situation that occurred. Another family member beat them to the bank to go ahead and freeze the account or stop anything from happening that they may not want to have happen.
Now, if let's say it's the husband's account, the wife is not a signer on it, he dies, she goes to the bank to try to do something with the money, probably can't do that, right?
So it depends.
Okay.
It depends on how much money is in that account. If there is more than $70,000 in the account, then the family will need to go through probate. If there's less than $70,000 in the account, the family can use what's called a small estate affidavit, which allows a family to avoid probate. The only time that you can use a small estate affidavit is if there's less than $70,000 in the account and there's no real estate in the estate.
Okay.
If there's more than $70,000 or $1 worth of real estate, then the estate is going to have to be probated. But if you have got a very small estate, you could pass that property without going through probate by using a small estate affidavit.
All right. Now, I brought up the graduation thing. Well, a lot of kids did graduate this summer, and congratulations to all. But what would you say parents need at minimum, you know, before they send their kids off to college this fall?
I think incapacity documents are wise, financial, medical power of attorney, the HIP authorization, the living will, and then even just a simple will. I don't necessarily think a trust is necessary. It's unlikely that a child would pass away. However, if they do, car accidents are a common cause of death among younger individuals, and when that happens, there could be a large payout from a personal injury settlement, in which case having an estate plan in place so that those funds go to the parent or the parents properly without any hiccups could make that very difficult moment a little bit easier. So I would say putting together a power of attorney document as well as a simple will would probably be the right fit for any minors out there looking to anyone who's just coming of age.
All right. Once again, you're listening to Protect Your Legacy. 833-ASK-BLAKE is the number, and we are talking with estate planning attorney Blake Harris. So what makes up, I guess, what we'll term a will-designated estate plan?
So what makes up a will-designated estate plan? So estate plans can be one of two things, generally speaking. They can either be will-based or they can be trust-based.
Okay.
And so the question then becomes, well, when should I use a will or when should I use a trust? And many people want me just to throw out a number. If you have more than $200,000, you need a trust. Well, it's really not that simple. I mean, that is something that I will factor in when determining my recommendation. But the first thing I look at when I determine whether to recommend a will or a trust is who are the beneficiaries. If the beneficiaries are your own children, you want to pass as much money as possible to your own children. And if you have to spend $1 to save $5 for your children, I think most of us parents would take that bet.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody owns real estate or they have children, then I would often recommend that they set up a trust. Now, if the beneficiaries are simply a charity, not a family member, something that you may believe in or support, but would rather save yourself a dollar than donate an extra dollar while you're alive, what you can do is set up a will-based plan. I actually had a couple in my office a little while back who were worth about $8 million, husband and wife, no children, no grandchildren, no other family members who plan to leave their property to. They just wanted to leave their money to the Denver Dumb Friends League or some other charitable organization.
Okay.
What I told them was, you can set up a last will and testament and just let the Dumb Friends League, let the charitable organization be the one to pay for the probate costs. Save yourself a little bit of money. Let the charity pay the probate costs, because after you pass away, they're going to receive the rest of your money, so they're going to be happy to pay the probate costs. So, again, it's a case-by-case situation, but generally if somebody has children, I'll probably be steering them towards the trust-based plan.
I gotcha. Okay. Now, and the whole idea of all this, and I guess most people probably understand this, but you're trying to preserve the value of their assets, reduce unnecessary taxes and expenses as well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And this question's also here. It says, if I have a living trust, do I still need a will?
So this is a very common question, because when we create a revocable living trust, we always back it up with a last will and testament as well. Last will and testament is just another term for a will. So yes, when you have a will, you should also have a trust in place. Now, if you have a will, you don't necessarily also need a trust. But if you have a trust, you should also have a will as a backup safety net. And this is where we're going to segue into talking about funding for a moment.
Okay.
When you create a trust, you will also need to make sure that you transfer property into the trust. So in order to transfer property into the trust, it depends on what type of asset you have. If you have real estate, you can sign a deed, and that deed will transfer property into the trust. If you have a bank account, you can transfer that bank account into trust by retitling it, opening up a bank account in the name of the trust, or what you can do is simply update the beneficiary designation on that financial account to name the trust as the beneficiary. Next, you have tangible personal property. For any tangible personal property, you want to sign an assignment that transfers all of your tangible personal property into your trust. When selecting an estate planning attorney, it is vital that you ask the question, is funding included with the creation of the trust? One of the biggest mistakes that people make is they create these great estate plans, they create a trust, a wonderful trust, but they forget to put the property into their trust. Okay. What ends up happening is that property still needs to go through probate. One of the main purposes of creating the trust or benefits of having a trust is that we can avoid probate. So with the trust, we also want to make sure that we fund it properly. What happens if you forget to fund property into the trust? Well, luckily, you will have also signed a will, or you should have also signed a will. And that will allows you to act as a backup safety net. Yes, it does require the property that the will is transferring to go through probate, but it does ultimately get the property into the trust so that your children can at least still receive protection over their inheritance. So to answer the question, if you have a trust, yes, create a will as well. I will tell a quick war story.
Sure.
A little while back, I had a client who I was working primarily with her daughter. The mom was very old. She was in her final days and her final weeks, and the mother did not, or I was informed, the mother did not want to sign a will. She wanted to sign a trust. Ultimately, I gave my advice that you should sign the will as a backup safety net. They were insistent that the will is not needed. I said the pricing is the same. Ultimately, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't dunk the horse's head in the water. I think I messed up that expression, but you can't make the horse drink. I always love twisting that expression around. But ultimately, I can prepare documents for clients, but I can't force anybody to sign them. I can be as convincing as possible, but ultimately, it's the client's choice how they want to carry out their estate. Well, ultimately, this client did not sign the trust document, and what ended up happening was mom passed away before they properly funded the trust, and the property ended up getting distributed under the default intestacy laws, and the trust that they discounted in handling the probate matter for them to make things easier. But ultimately, they got stuck in probate, and it ended up being a little bit of a messy probate situation. There's some disagreement among the children, and had they just signed a will, it would have made the process much smoother. The children would have received a protective inheritance. In this case, I believe there are about five children. There's only one home being sold with only about $250,000 equity in it, meaning each beneficiary got just about $50,000. It wasn't really a huge sum of money, but it was another good lesson. So when it comes up again next time, again, I'll lead the horse to water, and I'll have one more thing in my arsenal, another story to tell clients. Yes, you do want to sign a trust anytime. You do want to sign a will anytime you sign a trust as well.
All right. Now, is probate a concern only for those with a large estate, or how does that work?
Sure. So it depends on several factors. As I mentioned, if you have a small estate under $70,000, then probate really is not a concern. If it's under $70,000 and all of the property is held, is liquid, and there's no real estate, then probate really is not going to be much of a concern at all. But as far as when does it become an issue, when is it worthwhile to really avoid probate, I say if you own real estate, because real estate generally has to go through probate if there's not a joint owner or beneficiary deed in place. That's when I'm going to recommend that you try to avoid probate. There are costs and fees, court fees associated with probate that are standard. So if you have a very large estate, by percentage, the probate fees may be smaller. But if you have a smaller estate, the probate fees may actually eat up a larger percentage of it. So really, I mean, if there's more than $70,000, then I would try to avoid probate. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily something that very large estates need to worry about, but certainly the larger the estate, the more important it is to avoid probate. And another key element to consider, another key factor that would make probate more of a headache, is if you own any real estate out of state. Because you have to probate in every state that there's real estate. So if you have property across three different states, you've got your primary home in Colorado, and then you've got maybe a rental property or two in different states, you have to open up a separate probate in every single state. if you create a trust, you can avoid multiple probates. You can avoid all of the probates that properly funded and created trust.
All right, good deal. Last couple of minutes here. I know sometimes in some shows where we've covered common mistakes, it's come up where you've talked about, you know, not updating your plan if there's been some life changes, so to speak. Let's hit a couple of those life changes. What would make someone need to update maybe their current plan?
Sure. So the biggest reasons that people need to update their plan, number one, is either a marriage or a divorce. The default laws state that if there's a marriage, the new spouse can take an intestacy share, or if there's a divorce, then it's assumed that you no longer want your former spouse to receive any of your inheritance. You will want to be very careful in how you do your estate planning if you are marrying somebody who has children from a previous relationship, or you come into the marriage with children from a previous relationship. A big portion of my business is helping blended families. Blended families are the majority of families nowadays, and by having a well-drafted, well-thought-out estate plan, you can save a lot of time, money, and headache for your family after you pass away. So that's one reason that could cause you to need to update it. Also, if you just moved to Colorado, then you should consider having an estate planning attorney review it to make sure that everything is up to date with local law.
Sure.
Also, if there's a birth, if you have a new child or a grandchild, or if unfortunately you become estranged from a family member, or if luckily you reunite with a family member, those are times to consider redoing your estate plan. Or anytime there's a large shift in your assets, if you purchase a piece of real estate, you should make sure that that asset gets transferred into your trust. Or if you have upcoming nursing home costs, for example, or a lawsuit or an inheritance, if there's a large change to your assets, those would also merit a review and update to your estate plan.
All right, Blake. Wow, our time always goes so quickly, but we thank you for your time and your expertise. Folks, hey, look, it doesn't take long to listen to Blake and know this is all he does. This is his specialty, and he's standing by to help you now. 833-ASK-BLAKE. You've been listening to Protect Your Legacy. And Blake, last comment I have real quick. I had a guy the other day talking about it. He goes, man, I can't believe, you know, Christmas being a few months. He goes, what do you think is the best thing I could do for my family? And that was his exact question. And I said, call 833-ASK-BLAKE and get an estate plan. And truly, that is the best gift someone could do for their family, isn't it?
I certainly agree. It's a gift that you will never get to see them receive, but they will be thankful when the time comes.
Absolutely. Well, Blake, hey, bud, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to our visit next show.
Okay, sounds good. Great speaking with you, Scott. Have a great day.
You as well. Again, it's attorney Blake Harris, blakeharrislaw.com. Hey, don't wait. Go check out the website, read those reviews, and then call Blake, 833-ASK-BLAKE. Thanks for being with us today for Protect Your Legacy.
Kurt Rogers with Affordable Interest Mortgage. You've heard me for the last 8 years on KLZ, and today, my senior reverse mortgage manager of over 16 years, David Olson, has important information on reverse mortgages.
Thank you, Kurt. I specialize in reverse mortgages, and as a senior of 75 years and owning a reverse mortgage, we face many precarious financial events. Today, we are facing a 40-year high inflation rate. The words inflation and fixed income are not compatible. How do we protect our financial stability in these difficult times? By having access to an increasing home equity line of credit, where your unused portions grow in value. An income stream for life, just like Social Security. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Just call 720-895-0500. Join me for a free, no-obligation conversation, your table or mine, and learn how a reverse mortgage can help you. That's 720-895-0500. David Olson. Relieve some of your financial stress in these trying times. That's 720-895-0500.
NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA.
Turn a normal day into an adventure on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Caranci, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Just try it. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesch on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you have been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people hear evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one that's hurt, you have a good idea what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals, whom you don't know and weren't witnesses, to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesch understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesch and Beck Law. They get results.
This is 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are glad to kick off our show today with our good friend Alan Stack. It is Stack Optical. They're located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway. 303-321-1578 is the number, and it is stackoptical.com. Mr. Stack, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you,
it
Scott.
It's great
it's
to see you. Hey, I know people can't see you, but, man, great. You look like you're ready to tee off on hole number one here. Man. Cool-looking shirt there.
Just having the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, sometimes we can't get out and play. It's just cool to put on a golf shirt and act like going, right?
And, you know, as I said, I've already been at work today. So.
All right. Well, I tell you, when you look back, and I tell you what, over these last few months in different businesses that, I've dealt with just and then dealing with all of our clients, I tell you, the strong survive and to make it through what everybody has made it through these last few years you got to be doing something right. You got to be willing to kind of think on your feet and rotate the business model every once in a while. But Stack Optical is strong and going forward.
No, you're right. A lot of times, too, with all these supply chain issues and that kind of stuff. And so far, we've been able to plan ahead, and it hasn't affected us too much. Some of the real specialty product might take an extra day or two, but sure. I'm still running 3 or 4 day turnaround. And it's really making a difference. You're trying to stay ahead of the game.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, one of the things, and we'll just kind of go through a few of the things that you do there, but one thing we hear over and over again is just everybody breaks glasses at some point.
Right.
Something goes wrong. And repairs are, hard to find somebody that knows what they're doing with anything these days, but mostly with all the different frames and types of glasses you must see. And I just went on your website today and just grabbed a couple of these. But real quick before you answer, here's one from Mr. Smith here. And I know that sounds kind of fishy probably, but I would give you the first name. Hey, he put it on there, Thea Smith. Right. All right. Fast and friendly service. I lost a screw in my glasses and Stack Optical repaired them in just a few minutes. They noticed it was stripped and took the extra time to bend the screw so it wouldn't come out again. No charge for the repair, but I'll definitely be going back for new frames in the future, and they have a great selection. And I can go on and on, but that's what people say.
Yeah, those repairs, years ago I used to, seems like I was always soldering. Problem is a lot of these new frames and the metals they're made out of, I can't do as many solders, and a lot of them can't be soldered. If it can, especially the ones that were made 30 or 40 years ago, I can do a solder. You can't even tell it was soldered. But now with these, they've mixed so many different metals together, and not necessarily in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, I can take those lenses, if I can't fix the frame, and find a frame that the lenses will fit into. So, somebody's not out, not only the cost of the frame, but cost of new lenses, and some of these lenses get pretty expensive.
Sure.
And so that's one of the options that we offer that most places can't, because we'll re-edge a lens into another frame.
Right.
So typically if somebody comes one way or another, we can get something fixed for them.
Yeah.
And as far as, broken nose pads, eye wire screws, and that kind of stuff, typically we can take care of that.
You've probably seen people come in wearing their glasses about everywhere on their nose except where they fit,
On top of the head just drives me crazy. It's so hard on the frames. They're not designed for that.
What are some of the things that we can do to help our glasses?
Yeah, no, that just drives me crazy when I see people wearing them on top of their heads. And the other thing is, too, then they put them on the straps and this kind of stuff and wonder why their lenses get scratched. Well, you know, you bend down, okay. They're sitting on those cords, and then they bang into stuff. You know, the best place for a pair of glasses is on your face. If it's not on your face, put it in the case.
Right. There's a reason why they come in a case, right?
Right. Exactly.
Again, it's Alan Stack, and it is Stack Optical. And how many years now?
I took over in 1992. Okay. My father started in 1968. Wow. And I've been doing it 42 years.
Wow.
So I started when I was in high school. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing with the repairs is you can take, if the frames are good and they love the frames, you can put
new lenses
in that.
And they don't have to leave. See, most places say, yeah, we'll put new lenses in it, but we got to keep your frame. We don't. We can go ahead and take all of our measurements. We scan the lens. So then we make up the lenses. You come in and we just pop them in. So you don't have to leave the glasses. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to put new lenses in this because I can't afford to be without the frame. Sure. You don't have to.
Wow.
We've got a lot of options because we have our own lab.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Let's talk about that a minute because, I mean, that is – I tell you, we are not a patient society.
No.
Most people don't like waiting for anything. And, man, I'm sure most people are shocked if they are new to you.
Right.
That
we can get them in a few days.
Get them in a few days.
Right.
I mean, they're like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, no, it makes a huge difference having our own lab. You know, we order our blanks from another lab that's just like us. It's a family operation. They make the blanks. We get those in, and then we process them. Typically, we have them done in a couple hours. And it usually is 2 to 3 days for us to get those blanks, depending on the material. You know, some people want transitions, or they have a special progressive, or one of the things I specialize in are those really difficult prescriptions. You know, if they have a lot of prism, or they're a super high minus, or a myope, you know, I have frames set up to that I can put those lenses together, and they look much thinner than they normally would.
Right.
But anyway, it makes a huge difference when you have your own lab.
How much of a variance can there be, have you seen, between one eye and the other with people? I mean,
we're seeing a lot of that, too, is these people are coming back after they had LASIK 20 and 30 years ago. LASIK wasn't very good back then. So you had the healing process, and all of a sudden somebody who was very nearsighted, now they're farsighted. But it only happened in one eye. So they've got these really strange prescriptions. But we can accommodate for that. But that's where a lot of that came from.
Right.
And God forbid those people in the 80s that had the RK surgery. You know, that was, you know, they were cutting the corneas. I was fitting contacts back in the 80s. And I would look at their corneas underneath a slit lamp. And it would look like the surface of the moon, the way it was healing and this kind of stuff. And some of them we couldn't do anything for. We had to send them out for corneal transplants. And these people went in because they didn't want to wear glasses. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a big risk. Just not wanting to wear
glasses. Anytime you cut on the eye, there's always that risk.
Yeah.
Glasses are pretty safe.
Right. Service is something you've always prided yourself on. You're like I say, your family name and all is on the business. So that's one thing we hear over and over. And I tell you, there's not a time I don't walk in. I'll see some older folks. I'll see some middle-aged folks. See some younger folks, which means families stick with you, don't they?
They do. Typically, if I have somebody... I've had so many clients that came to us when they were a kid. Now they're in their 40s and 50s. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I love going, you know, and I still use paper records.
Yeah.
I love paper records, you know. Just a computer is so impersonal. And actually, my receipt machine is the same receipt machine my dad was using in the 60s. We still handwrite our receipts.
Well, and what's cool with this new, I sort of say new location, what have we been there now, a couple of years?
This is our fifth year.
Gosh.
Yeah, and, you know, we were in the other location for, 45 years?
But super easy parking. I just put
that in.
It's a
lot better
right
than it was when we were in Cherry Creek.
Exactly. Man, you just pull up, walk 20 feet, you're in the door. But I think the feel that you get in there, and I know in your website, I think you described it as a boutique shop, but I mean, it is just a friendly, I mean, you feel like you are getting that individual attention that you don't get anywhere or anything
but
with
you
medical
are.
Anymore.
It's not a question of feel. You are. It's completely different than other places. You know, we try to discourage people just going and looking at frames. And the reason for that is get us involved. Use our experience. Because what we'll do is look at that prescription. And then we can tell you what frames will work and what won't.
Yep.
You might fall in love with a frame that you picked out, and then we have to be, and it's heartbreaking. I say, well, I can't do that because it won't work with your prescription.
Right.
You know, let us be involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we encourage.
Sure. And, you know, too, I mean, you go into big box stores, and I want to talk about online stuff here in a second, but that person, you don't know anything about that person that's making a judgment call and telling you what glasses are good for you.
Right.
This is what you've done your whole life, and you're going to be there tomorrow. So it's not going to walk in and be different person, or that person's gone in this day and time we live in. You never know.
Exactly.
So, man, they've got the consistency of the care that you offer.
Right. Exactly. No, that's what it's all about, Scott.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It's again, it's Stack Optical and located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway. Now, on the website, it says located in Villa Monaco. So that's the shopping center, right?
Yes.
So Villa Monaco right there. And that's at Evans.
You know, technically, that's in the lease.
Is it really?
They want us to promote Villa Monaco.
Oh, okay. Well, we just did. Tell them they owe you some money. We just did it on the radio.
That's all right.
But again, the number is 303-321-1578. Now, let's talk about, because I know you were strictly by appointments there for a long time.
Right, and we're still by appointments.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll probably be like that for the foreseeable future. But, you know, if you're in the area, just knock on the door. We even have a sign on it. Just, you know, if the door is locked, just knock on it.
Okay.
Typically, we try to work every.
Sure.
But, yeah, we're still by appointment. And a lot of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then they can take the time they need and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to talk about online for a minute because, man, I tell you, nothing aggravates me more than people. You know, first of all, I think we ought to support businesses here in Colorado. That's number one, and especially, you know, family-owned businesses like that. But, I mean, there's so many things that the online purchase and eyewear will not get you. Let's break that down.
What we were just talking about, we try to discourage from people just coming in and picking out a frame and this kind of get us involved. Well, when you're online, there's nobody there to help you.
Yeah.
They'll just say, hey, pick out the frame that you like, we'll make them up. You know how many times we get people into the office and they're saying, well, can you fix these? Well, no, you can't put a fit into a frame that wasn't fit properly to begin with. And we can't redesign something that doesn't work.
Sure.
You know, you've got to have the optician involved, and they don't have opticians online to help you go through all that. And also the prescriptions. There's no rules or laws out there to protect the people from getting the wrong prescription online.
Right.
So, you know, we'll check these, and, you know, the measurements are off, the prescription is off, or there's no way to fit them. It's just there's so many different variables and so many different risks that somebody's taking when they do that.
And you mentioned measurements.
And some of them, they come in, they show me their receipt, and it's like, my God, it would have been cheaper if you came to us.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're paying twice.
Sure. And when you talk about measurements, I mean, the reason why those are off, because probably people don't have the skill and know even how to measure.
No. They'll say, okay, I want you to look into the computer, and they'll take their measurements and this kind of stuff. Well, the problem with doing that is, let's say somebody drives for a living. Well, you'll fit a Progressive completely different than for somebody who works on a computer 8 hours a day. You can't fit that person the same way. It won't work. So they use generic code in order to come up with their measurements. That's why somebody's always having to hold their head up in order to read. It's because, you know, they were fit too low. Or vice versa. They're having to hold their head down to look through the distance because they were fit too high.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to make a million neck moves.
That's why we ask so many questions when we're taking measurements.
Right.
So we can get that perfect. And then if it's not, guess what? I'm the one who eats it. I'm the one who starts over again.
Sure.
You know, there can be always miscommunication.
Right, sure.
You know, but we take care of it.
Right.
You know, we stand behind what we do.
Absolutely. Again, it's Stack Optical. And let me tell you, I've been trusting Alan and my wife, Victoria. We've been trusting our eyes to him, so to speak, for many, many years. And I tell you, you know, contacts, we can touch on that here in a future segment, but they can handle all the contacts as well. And the eye exams, only $69, folks, for an eye exam. You are not going to beat that anywhere, and a very thorough eye exam as well. All you have to do is call 303-321-1578, get your eye exam scheduled. But if you're around that area and you've been thinking about maybe replacing some glasses or you need some repairs, get by and see them. It is Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. Once again, the phone number, 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com. Alan, great information.
Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it. Good to be here.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dan. You know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer. You're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pets' needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today, 303-708-8050, or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Always a privilege to have Alan Stack in studio with us. You've heard about him for years here on our show with Haystack Help Radio and Sportsman of Colorado. And they are located at Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. The number is 303-321-1578. Alan, we talk about a lot of things on the show with you, but I tell you one thing that I wanted to get with you on just a little bit here. Is you do such a great job with the glasses and where they've kind of come over the years. The ones that you made for me, and I don't have a huge, I think I'm like a 2.0 now or something like that. But those glasses that you made, they're not transition. What do they call the?
Changes color?
No.
Progressive.
Progressive, yeah. I would have lost that contest. The progressive. I mean, and Victoria, she just tells me all the time, every time I put them on, she goes, those glasses look so neat. And I remember you had the same frame for a while that you made for me. But those progressive glasses, those are really, really nice, aren't they?
Yeah. They improved them a lot from, it was just 5 years ago. I think we've had two or three different generations of progressives, and they keep cleaning them up.
Mm-hmm.
So you get more distance, more intermediate. And
you
more
hardly even know you've got them on your face. I mean,
you're also talking about the frame.
Yeah.
That silhouette frame, that's what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah.
I've been using those since 2002. I was one of the first to bring them in. I thought it was just an ingenious design, especially with the type of lens that we use is unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Trivex. But it's just such a strong lens. The optics are so superior.
Yeah, I mean, they're so
clear. And they're so lightweight.
Right.
And another nice thing about the frame is, they come up with new styles and this kind of stuff, but they never change the drill holes. So, somebody can take that frame and use it for 10 or 15 years. If the frame breaks, okay, no problem. Buy a frame. We can use the same lenses in it.
Right.
It's really a well-designed frame. They're not the cheapest, but they sure are the best.
Absolutely, they are great. Now, we've mentioned this before, but you have your on-site lab. So again, you can take those, and last time I had my prescription, mm-hmm. You took the same, you made the different lens and made it just a little bit bigger for me to give me a little more reading space there. And I mean, there's nowhere that could
give me that touch. That's what's kind of neat with having our own lab. I can customize lenses, decide. Yeah, I really like the shape, but I wish it was a little deeper.
Yeah.
Or a little bit wider. Let's just use that same frame and I'll make it a little mm-hmm. bit deeper, a little bit wider. Or we'll change the shape altogether.
Yeah.
So, it's again, having our own lab makes a huge difference.
For sure. I want to talk about tents a minute, because I'm going to be honest. Before I met you, I never even thought about tents. Now, I wore a couple of different tents, you know, like hunting, just the orange or the yellow, whatever. But most of the time in just a sunglass, just whatever 7-Eleven hat. And, man, I'm telling you what, you changed my life with just the
– knowing the proper tents for what you do.
Exactly.
That's huge. You know, I can't tell you times golf. I was sitting out there on a golf course, and the guy – he's got gray lenses on, and he can't find his ball. And I'm pointing the ball out for him. And I'm looking, and I said, have you ever heard about, you know, golf lenses? Oh, no. You know, well, basically, they're brown. What brown does is help illuminate the shadows that ball falls into. A gray darkens the shadows.
Right.
Brown is so much better for golf. Brown is also great for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be out there in a dark sunglass trying to scope a ridge.
Sure.
You're going to miss the animals. But the brown helps cut through those shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So, but on the other hand, let's say you're out on the ocean, you want a nice gray polarized lens.
Yeah.
You want to protect from the sun.
Sure.
And it depends. If it's just driving, no, I prefer gray.
Right.
Gray gives you the truest colors.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm being active in sports, brown is better.
Right.
But again, it depends on what you're doing.
Right.
And that's what we need to discuss.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just like the green lenses. You know, those came out in World War II. The reason they came out was so that pilots could be able to tell what type of clouds they were flying through. Green actually allows them to see the cloud, different types of clouds.
Really?
That's where green came from. So, and actually, some people really prefer the green. So we do a lot of green.
Wow,
so, you know, tints and polarization, it's like, you know, a private pilot. You don't want to put them in a polarized lens. And the reason for being is they need those reflections off the wings to tell if they've got ice buildup. So we typically, if somebody says, yeah, I'm a private pilot, no, you don't want polarized.
Right. So anytime you get on a small plane, ask the pilot where you're
Yeah, if you weren't polarized, I think I'll
go to stack optical. Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's talk about contacts for a minute, because a lot of changes in those through the years. I mean, what were the first contacts like when you started?
Actually, when I started, my father had a contact lens, hard contact lens, manufacturing in the basement of that building that we were in.
Wow.
We used to make the old hard contacts. They were made out of just plastic, PMMA. They didn't breathe. And one of the only way the cornea could get the oxygen is through tear flow. So you have a lot more red eyes, and especially in our dry environment. So we would put these little holes in the contacts to try to help them breathe. That was the beginning of contacts. Then gas permeables came out, where oxygen could actually get through the lens, which was better. And then, of course, our soft lenses. And I don't know, there's just been so many different advances now that, you know, they've got contacts with a higher water content, much better for you. Now, that's all kind of stuff that doc's involved in.
But right, right.
I was involved in that in the 70s and 80s.
Wow, that's cool. Now, as far as the exam, let's talk about that a minute, because, again, $69, and how you've been able to stick with that for all these years, I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's all on the doc. He just loves what he does.
Because, man, that's a very thorough exam.
We don't use text. The doc sees you from beginning to end. And, you know, I've always sought out doctors that are semi-retired.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it because they love it.
Sure.
They're not doing it, you know, because they got to. They got to make money and this kind of stuff. Typically, they're all, I just love doing optometry. That's what I look for.
Right. That's the kind of doctor you want, too.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And, you know, we've talked about it before, but, boy, you talk about a window to your health. You can see a lot of things through the eye.
Yeah, no, our docs picked up on a lot of things, and then we refer out to MDs and that type of thing. But, no, when you go in for your eye exam, that's one of the things he does, whether you get dilated or not.
Right.
He's still looking in the back of the eye. If he sees something that's curious, he's going to really say, hey, let's get the dilation and really take a look at it. And then if he is concerned enough, he's off to the MD.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but, you know, you're only starting at $69.
I know.
You know. One of the reasons I started doing that is because a lot of the MDs, they were charging, you know, $200 and $300 for the eye exams. And they weren't doing the eye exams. They were having their techs do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doc would walk in and go, yep, that looks good. Sign the prescription.
Right.
But you paid to see the doctor. And I had so many people start complaining about that. because a lot of the older ophthalmologists that did that were retiring. That's why typically an optometrist, in my opinion, you get a better eye exam because that's all they do.
Sure.
So that's really worked out well for us. And our doc has picked out quite a few things that we've referred on.
Right. And also, I mean, hey, we're getting that time of year now. You're seeing a lot of people on motorcycles and out riding their bikes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you've got a ton of glasses for, again, enhancing your experience in the outdoors.
Exactly. I mean, depending on what you do, I've got a pair of glasses for it. somebody was commenting just yesterday about my motors, or they were going, what, are those motorcycle glasses? I said, actually, I brought those in for open cockpit pilots, flying the old biplanes.
Oh, okay.
But they look like, and they are, the old motorcycle glasses back from the turn of the century. They're a leather, it's a leather frame with the metal inserts that I could put, you know, prescriptions in. But, some motorcycle guys really like that now because it's true.
Sure.
But I brought them in because of open cockpit pilots that I had back in the 90s.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, no, depending on what you do, I've got a pair of glasses.
Right, right. Now, I know we've done the Stack Sports Pack for quite a mm-hmm. while.
But
they've changed it. And so I want you to talk about that a little bit. And I'm telling you, because, man, that I keep that in my truck, and, I mean, that's all I need.
Yeah, no, what I really liked about the original one, it was a flatter base curve. But on the other hand, I had many customers that say, well, I want more of a wrap. Well, they've discontinued the flatter one, and now we just have more of the wrap.
Okay.
Which is okay, unless you have a high correction. Then I've got to do something different.
All right.
But no, they've just basically changed their style, I think, basically, mm-hmm. because people were complaining about it. With me, I was putting so many prescriptions, I like the flatter.
Right. And basically, though, it's still the concept of one frame. And
one
being
frame
able to switch the
lenses.
And when I tell you, folks, when you know, sometimes you think, well, yeah, an optometrist can switch the lenses. I can't. No, I'm telling you, I can. So right. You can. It's so easy. And right there in the field, I've done it. You know,
right.
Been in a blind or something like that, you know, waterfowl hunting or whatever, and all of a sudden the weather changes, clouds change, whatever. Man, I've unzipped my case, boom, boom, stuck another lens in there, and been able to do what I need to do.
Yeah, there's two different ways you can do that. You know, you can get like a dark brown and then a clear that you want to use right in the early morning or late evening. But we've also come up with new types of sun-sensitive lenses that'll change for you so you don't have to change it. But you're right, that's the ease of that frame, is being able to change lenses out. Or you've got your hunting lens, but then let's say you have your fishing lens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just switch them.
Yeah, Kevin Flesh loves his too. I mean, Kevin's with us.
Yeah, works out really well.
Yeah, he loves his. Once again, it's Stack Optical, and really, truly, for all of your optical needs, whether it be repairs, your eye exam, your contacts, they can take care of you. Don't trust your eyes just to anyone, all right? Do it. Trust your eyes to someone, that I do and that has been doing it since 1968. And Al and his crew will be ready to help you. Need to call for an appointment, 303-321-1578. And as Alan said, during their hours there, and I think you're open till 5:30, right?
Uh-huh, 5:30 okay. During the week, yeah, and 5 o'clock on Saturday.
All right. So, if you're in the area and need something, tap on the door. They'll probably try to help you. But no doubt, this is the place you need to go to for all your optical needs. Family-owned and operated. They care about you. They care about customer service, and they will take care of you. So 303-321-1578, and it's stackoptical.com. Alan, always good to see you.
Thank you, Scott.
We'll look forward to our visit next time. Thank you so much for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.